Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you got the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Unsolved cases leave open wounds in the people who cared the most about the victims. On May 28, 1980, Dorothy Jane Scott was seen for the last time in a case that, to this day, remains unsolved. So, if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Dorothy Jane Scott was born on April 23, 1948, to Jacob and Vera Scott in Anaheim, California. An introvert for most of her life, Dorothy found herself pregnant and, in 1975, gave birth to a son named Sean. Madly in love with motherhood, Dorothy raised her son on her own, and, though always close to her family and living with her aunt in Stanton, was incredibly independent and did what she had to do to make the best life for her and Sean. To make ends meet, she began working as a backroom secretary for two jointly owned stores in Anaheim. One was Singer's Psych Shop, and the other was Custom John's Head Shop. Dorothy, despite the job she worked, did not do drugs or even drink. And when she wasn't at work or with Sean, she spent all of her free time at the church that she was so committed to. She was described as kind, dependable, caring, and above all, a wonderful mother. In 1980, Dorothy started receiving strange phone calls at work from an unidentified male. A man who, in one breath, professed his undying love for her and, in the next, expressed his intent to end her life. In fact, one day she got a phone call that told her to go outside because there was something there waiting for her. When she did, she found a single dead rose on the windshield of her car. And in one particularly gruesome call, the man threatened to, quote, cut her up into bits so no one could ever find her. Worried, Dorothy, who dated only occasionally and had no steady boyfriend as far as her family knew, toyed with the idea of purchasing a handgun, and, that May, started taking karate lessons in case she needed to defend herself. All of this, while odd, makes the next thing that happened to Dorothy even more terrifying. On March 28, 1980, Dorothy Scott was in an employee meeting at work when she noticed that a coworker, Conrad Bostron, had a nasty red mark on his arm and did not look very well. Fearing it was a spider bite, she and another coworker, Pam Head, left the meeting with plans on taking Conrad to the ER. On the way, Dorothy stopped at her parents' house to check on Sean, changed her black scarf to a red one, and then headed out to UC Irvine Medical Center. Their suspicions were right. Conrad had been bitten by a black widow. He was treated, and the women remained in the waiting room until it was time for him to go home. Conrad was finally discharged at around 11 p.m. and given a prescription, at which point Dorothy offered to bring her car around to the exit so he wasn't forced to walk through the parking lot in his condition. He and Pam agreed, and Dorothy, for the first time that evening, left their side. When standing outside the building waiting for her car to pull around, Pam and Conrad saw the vehicle approach and suddenly begin speeding towards them. Realizing how fast she was driving but unable to see inside due to the blinding headlights, the pair began waving at Dorothy to try and get her attention. Instead, the car took a sharp right turn and floored it out of the parking lot. Worried that maybe something had happened to Sean, the pair decided to give Dorothy some time. But as hours passed and they heard nothing from their friend, they decided to finally call the police and report her missing. Not long after the report was made, at about 4:30 a.m. on May 29th, police found Dorothy's 1973 Toyota station wagon burning in an alleyway about 10 miles away from the hospital. Neither she nor anyone else were anywhere to be found. Then, about a week after her disappearance, Dorothy's devastated parents received an anonymous phone call from a man who simply said, "I've got her," before hanging up. A man who proceeded to call almost every week and either tell them that he had Dorothy or that he had already killed her. Each of the calls were made when Vera Scott was home alone, and it wasn't until a call was answered by her father, Jacob, in April of 1984 that the calls finally stopped. Then, just about a month after her disappearance, yet another unidentified man called over to the Orange County Register, a paper who had just run a story about Dorothy's case, and told the managing editor, "I killed her. I killed Dorothy Scott. She was my love. I caught her cheating with another man. She denied having someone else. I killed her." While this could have easily been written off as a morbid prank, the callers somehow not only knew about Scott's spider bite, but the fact that Dorothy had changed her scarves the night of her disappearance, something that had not been published in any of the media reports about the case. The caller also claimed that Dorothy had called him from the hospital that night, but when asked, Pam had denied the claim and said that Dorothy never left her side. By this point, police were almost certain that the calls made before her disappearance, the ones made to her family, and the ones made to the Register were all made by the same man. But with the phone calls now at an end and leads basically non-existent, the case of Dorothy Jane Scott went completely cold. That was until August 6th, 1984, when a construction worker discovered both dog and human bones lying side by side about 30 feet from Santa Ana Canyon Road. Bones that were partly charred and had probably been there for about 2 years. With the bones was a turquoise ring and watch that stopped at 12:30 a.m. on May 29th, just an hour after Pam and Conrad saw Dorothy's car speeding out of the parking lot. Just 8 days later, the bones were officially identified as belonging to Dorothy Scott, but cause of death could not be determined. Upon discovering Dorothy's remains, those mysterious phone calls started flooding in once again, and police installed a voice recorder to try and trace any of the calls. They were unsuccessful each time. Over the course of the investigation, police questioned any and all of the men in Dorothy's life. This included Sean's father, who had an airtight alibi in Missouri, and all of the men who worked with her at the stores. The fact that Dorothy worked behind the scenes of the shop made customers an unlikely suspect, and police looked at all of the sex offenders in the area to no avail. Desperate, Dorothy's parents and the police even consulted a few psychics. Police investigating the case speculate that Dorothy's murder is somehow connected to the July 1982 murder of 25-year-old Patricia Jean Schneider, who disappeared, whose car was found on fire, but has herself never been found. Unfortunately, even if the cases are connected, the unknown caller has never been identified, and both cases remain cold. Jacob Scott died in 1994, just 1 week shy of his 70th birthday, and Vera Scott in 2002. Both died having the open wound of their daughter's unsolved case still on their hearts. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on May 29th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.